Good morning. The Old Testament lessons coming from Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 12 and 17 through 18, can found on page 12. And these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in the vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, this man should not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven and count the stars. If you are able to count them, then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from your Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought him all of these and cut them in two, lying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On the day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants, I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. The New Testament reading comes from Philippians chapter 13, verses 17, 4 and 1, and can be found on page 198. Brothers and sisters, join me Join me in imitating me and absorbing those who live accordingly to the example you have in us. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord, and this way, my beloved. This is the word of God for the peace of God.
Lord, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, my mind be acceptable in my sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. How many of you have got your Bibles in front of you? Did you actually open up to Philippians 3? I want you to turn to that page and look at Philippians chapter 3. And we started at 17. But if you're looking at that page, go up to 12. Because one of the challenges we have in Scripture is someone plucks a Scripture out, and without the full meaning, without the context, it doesn't have the same meaning. Paul speaks in those preceding five verses about how he has not already obtained this, which is perfection, moving on to heaven. But he presses on to make it his own, that goal. He's not reached the goal, but he's pressing on. So we already have the idea that Paul's attitude is for moving forward. I consider that I've made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal, the prize for the heavenly call of God in Jesus Christ. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. How many times have you heard you focus on what's in front of you, or you focus on the goal in front of you? You can't do anything about what happened yesterday or earlier this morning. You can only grasp the moment that you have as you have it and keep headed in the right direction. Jesus told us for a very good reason that I am the way, the truth, and the life. He wants us to follow Him. Paul is following Him. Paul wants us to do that. He wants us not to worry about so much what's happened in the past, but focus on serving Christ and imitating Him. So let's go to verse 17. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. Paul is setting himself in front of them saying, look, I have devoted everything to serving Jesus Christ, to proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He doesn't baptize in Paul's name. He doesn't baptize in anybody else's name, but in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He preaches Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why crucified? We're in the middle of Lent. Why do we believe so fervently in Jesus Christ who's crucified? Because when He's nailed on the cross, our sins are nailed on the cross. When He gives up His last breath and says, it is finished, then the payment, the full expiation of our sin is accomplished. We weren't there 2,000 years ago, but He gave then the full price for all of our sin. He maintained that covenant that God made with Abraham. He's kept it from generation through generation and then brought it to fulfillment through Christ Jesus. When He died on that cross so you and I could have a relationship, a right relationship with Jesus Christ, not because of something that we've done, but because of what Christ has already done for us. This is what Paul has adopted as his whole touchstone and life model. For many live as enemies of the cross and of Christ. I can't imagine that. Why would anyone be an enemy of the cross and an enemy of Christ. If we don't focus and have serving God and Christ and the acceptance of the sacrifice at the cross, if we resist that, we're resisting our own salvation. If we diminish that, we diminish our own opportunity, bought and paid for at a horrific price through Christ Jesus. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. It saddened Paul that there were some that would not accept Christ's freely given gift and sacrifice, yet would go back into, I have to earn it on my own through following the Ten Commandments, by following the precepts that were in Jewish tradition, that dietary restrictions, keeping the Sabbath and things of that nature. It's not solely in that any of us could do it, because none of us can live a perfect life. As I talked to Isaiah or Elijah and Alex, you guys still up there? Okay. As I talked to them earlier today, what did I tell you? All right. Quiz later. When we have salvation, when we come before the church body for a baptism or any of the sacraments, when we come for communion or baptism, we're standing before God. There are practical things there. The water that's there for the baptism, I got that out of the tap. The bread and the grape juice, well, had a label that says Welch's on it just minutes before, and it probably had the wonderful touch of Lee kneading that loaf of bread. But when it's there, it's something different, because when we call on the Holy Spirit to transform that and make it very truly the body and the blood of Christ Jesus, when we bless that water with the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is here. Then we're living out what Nicodemus was told by Jesus: you must be born of water and spirit. You must be born again. We're living into that blessing. Absent that, if you reject that, if you rebuke that, it's your free choice. God isn't going to twist your arm and make you do anything. Now, He has hit me in the forehead with a 2x4 a couple of times when He wanted me to understand what it was He wanted me to do. Now, He's not beyond giving you some guidance, but He's not going to make you do it. You, out of your own free will, you, out of your choice, choose to follow Him. And when you choose that, the transformation begins. If you don't, this is what happens. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly. Their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. So if your mind is focused on earthly things, Alex, driving a car, it's nice, right? But it's not the end all be all. There's more to life, right? But our citizenship is in heaven, and it's from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what He's going to do for us. Underline this. He will transform the body of our humiliation. Verse 21. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of His glory, by the power that also enables Him to make all things subject to Himself. Well, that's a mouthful. He transforms the body of our humiliation. In other words, He takes this body, this sinful body, that's going to be corruptible, that's going to decay, that's going to age, that's going to die, that's going to be buried in ground or cremated or surrendered to the sea. But that everlasting and internal is because of the conforming. How many people know what happens to a caterpillar in the process of metamorphosis. And some of them get to be wonderful monarch butterflies. Well, that's a transformation, right? That's a glorious transformation. But what Paul talks about here is not just a transformation, but it's a we're conforming ourselves to the glory of Christ, which means we're being molded and shaped in such a way that we conform to what? Formed to the body of His glory. Not the worldly glory, but His glory. So when we're being transformed, we're being changed into something different. But what we're being changed and transformed into something different is we're being conformed and shaped into the glory that is Christ. Hallelujah. Better than me. Greater than thee. Holy as Him. Blessed as Him. By the same power that also enables Him to make all things subject to Himself. The power to transform, the power to conform us into that which God has designed for us from the beginning of our lives. The scripture, I knew you when you were being knit in your mother's womb. He knows us. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Not necessarily by doing a bunch of things, but in faith. Allowing Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit to transform you by freely opening up your life to that transformation, Holy Spirit, that can come in, and that justifying and sanctifying grace, the prevenient grace that goes on before we even recognize that God's there, the justifying grace that begins when we recognize that Jesus Christ's sacrifice and His gift for us pays the price for our sin and earns us salvation. And then the sanctification is us being conformed to the glory that is Christ Jesus. And that's by our choice. When we submit and accept and allow ourselves to be conformed by the Holy Spirit into something that we could never, ever grasp or imagine. You think that caterpillar that's walking on the earth with how many feet, whether it's a centipede or otherwise, I don't know if a centipede has more feet and legs. I think there's supposed to be 100. But does a caterpillar that transforms into a monarch butterfly have the same number of feet? It's a scientific problem or biological. Somebody probably knows the answer to it, but I'll tell you this. I'd almost guarantee you that that caterpillar has no idea what it's going to be like to fly. When you're conformed to the glory of Christ, we throw off the caterpillar body and we take on the glory that is Christ, and we are flying. Something like that. To the glory of Christ. Shalom.
Our hymn of invitation is Lead On, O King Eternal, number 580.